I shouldn't, but I do apologize for when these AC units are on that some of you can't hear as well, as because some things are very important that are being talked about, and we need to be aware that people behind us can't hear. But I can tell you that if you consider the alternative, you'd be perfect candidates to go to India with me in a couple months. So anyway, just gather what you can, and you can always, when a good word comes forth, you can always grab that and take it home with you. It's like going to a buffet. You just go down the table and take off the table those things which satisfies what it is you have need of on the buffet table. And yes, even the gathering of believers together is like that too. You may not understand some of the things that we talk about, but the things that you can grasp onto and take, let it be a buffet table for Jesus. Take those things that pertain to your life and go with them, because you put them into practice in your life and they work. And they work for all who diligently put them and apply them in their lives. God is no respecter of persons. Opening scripture this morning comes from the book of James. It's only got 5 chapters, but James doesn't mince words. Sometimes he can seem very harsh in his writing, but he's very bold, and he was one of Jesus' brothers. Jesus was not the only child. And you have to throw away the Bible to not understand that. And James saw what his brother went through. And so he takes his Christianity very seriously. In chapter 1, we're going to look at and read verses 5 through 8. I'll read it out of the Old King James, which I like very much. I have it in the NIV, and they're both very excellent. I also have it in the Amplified, but we'll start with where we're at. If any of you lack wisdom, if is a big word. Did you ever think that was one of the biggest words in the Bible? Because whenever you see the word if, it means you're going to be expected to make a decision about that which you're going to read next, or about that which you're going to do next. So if any of you lack wisdom, what do you do? See, there's an implication there that if you lack wisdom, there's something available. Let him ask of God. People can help us a lot. They have a lot of knowledge and understanding about things that we're not really gifted or skilled to know. But when you ask God, who knows all things from the beginning to the end, it would just make really good sense to do what James says to do. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God. The Bible calls him the Ancient of Days. Not that he's old and not that he's forgetful. The only thing God forgot was the things that he chose to forget, and that was all of our sins. And that's good news today. There's no rap sheet on you in heaven. God does not keep a list and check in it twice to find out who's naughty or nice. Ah, jeez. I know. The heat got to y'all already. Let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. When you ask God for wisdom, he gives it to you in an enlarged amount, if you will, not grudgingly, not sparingly, not stingy. He's not the God of El Cheapo. He's the God of El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. And when you have need of wisdom, ask him. And it says that he will give it to you without upbraiding you or getting on your case about that. And it shall be given him. That's a promise. What sense does it make? Lord, I don't know how to build an ark. Noah wasn't a shipbuilder. But look at what he constructed when he laid aside his pride, laid aside his own abilities, laid aside his own understandings, and he allowed God to show him how to build an ark. And you may not be wanting to build an ark in your life, but Brad, maybe somebody might call upon you in the construction trade to build something you've never built before. And you might look at that project and say, gee, I'd really like to do that, but I don't know how to build what you want me to do. But you have a father who's the greatest carpenter ever. And he will give you wisdom and the ability to build that which someone has asked you to build. And it's the same in our lives. We don't always know how to make the right choices. We don't always know what they might be. But here's something very important about asking. The next verse. But let him ask in faith. Did you not just talk about believing in faith what God has said, whether you understand it or not? Faith has nothing to do with how you feel about a situation. Faith has everything to do with what did God say. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. To the Christian who wavers, you're up one day, down the next, you're sure today, tomorrow you're not sure, and Wednesday by Wednesday you've really lost it. Back and forth, up and down, and never really settled, never really established, never really setting your feet on a firm foundation of faith, and the earth continuously moves under your feet, and you're unsettled and unestablished, that's not good. But you can do something about that. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And here's a word of caution if you are like this person that James is writing about. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Anybody been to the ocean when it's all stirred up with a big storm offshore? What do the waves look like? And what do you see on the very top, the crest of the waves? Do you not see foam and see the wind just blowing that foam off of the top of the waves and blowing them all over the beaches and all of the destructive nature of those waves? But just how they're just tore apart by the wind. James says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because every time you release your faith and let God know what you have need of, and then, oh, it's 10:45, oh, wait a minute, God, I changed my mind. You know, and here's the Lord trying to work things around on your behalf, and you say, but tomorrow, I have to do this. Maybe that won't work out, God. I have a better idea. Let's do it this way. And God says, will you just cool it? Chill out. I have a plan for your life. Don't blow it. Listen. If we continuously do that, you know, a couple of you talked about the mind and the little booklet about renewing the mind. When you put God's word in, I mean, I remember upgrading my computer from Windows XP to Windows 7. That was a big deal for me in my generation. And in the Word, we have to renew our minds. We have to put new data in. We have to put new words in so that we begin to think more like the Lord. We begin to understand His will more. We get established. His Word doesn't change. So if His Word is on the inside of us, then the only changing is required is us to come in conformity with His Word so that we and God are in agreement. And when God wants to bless you and answer your prayers, don't change your mind before He rolls over all of heaven to move just for you. And then you change your mind. God never changes His mind like that. His Word is fixed and it's established. And you can take it or leave it, but at least if you exercise your faith, it's a great place to start. And he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It isn't just in the things of the Lord, but as it becomes a lifestyle, a way of life. Unstable, people don't know how to approach you. People don't know how to converse with you because you may be smoking hot today and tomorrow ice cold as an ice cube in your freezer. There needs to be a levelness, an evenness in a person's life, and that comes through your relationship with him. And not being double-minded, meaning changing your mind all the time. And especially after you've prayed. And that's what James is talking about praying in faith. And once you ask God, it's settled. No matter how you feel about it, no matter if you think he forgot you. Talk to Lorraine a little more in a few minutes, and we have our little break about how many times she changed her mind along the way. And what happened? Nothing. A big fat zero. And it wasn't God's fault. It's our fault. We choose to change our minds. We choose to believe. We choose not to believe. Life is about making right choices. And so many times we can undo our prayers. We pray and then we open our mouth and start speaking exactly contrary to what we pray. That's being double-minded. How can God answer your prayer if you change it with your words 5 minutes after you prayed? So James is admonishing all of us to take these words to heart. And you might find that things that have been unstable in your life would start to stabilize. And you'd have some purpose and direction established. It makes a big difference. I'd like to just read this out of the Amplified, and then we'll move on. If any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. But he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all his ways, in everything he thinks, everything he feels, and everything he decides. So this is a good opener, because every one of us, we have a prayer life, we have relationships with the Lord and with each other. And so I'm always thankful for words like this, because every one of us can benefit by these. We can all profit by listening to the words of the Lord's Word. They minister life to our spirit man. I got a letter from Pastor Sherrod. I'm not going to read you the whole letter. From India. You, most all of you know who he is. And for 40 years he labored in those little remote villages in the mountains, the remote mountain villages in India, South India. And they never prayed for anybody, because they were told and taught that God doesn't answer prayer, God doesn't heal people, God doesn't deliver people from demonic spirits, so they never prayed for anybody. He personally never did. And then in 1991 I went, and he took me to all those villages, and I just prayed for everybody. I don't care how long it took, one-on-one. Sometimes you might be praying for 3 hours, because people would just stand in a prayer line and wait, and even the last person didn't say, "I'm out of here, it's too hot, I'm not waiting for this," and take off. No, they would walk, and sometimes for several miles, to come and be prayed for. Well, Pastor Sherrod would take photographs. He had a Hindu photographer that would come in and take photographs, because he had never seen anything like this. He just was never exposed to that. And so he took a lot of the pictures I have. He had my camera, and he had copies for himself, and he would take, you know how we lay hands on people here, he would get this angle, then he would get this angle, and then he'd come down here, and all those photographs were because he was documenting things he had never seen for 40 years. So if you understand where a person's coming from, you can see why he did that. So in this letter, Tom, I'm ready for the picture. He's going to make reference to what's going on here. Some of you that came and been here quite some while, the man whose wife was not able to retain the baby in the womb, and after you prayed, she retained the baby boy and gave birth without any problem, and the boy is now 5 years old, comes with his parents to the Telavati Church, and that's the couple. And I prayed for them in 2013. That was when I was taken to the third range of the Nilgiri Mountains. And that was kind of a secretive trip. because we didn't want the location of those believers to be made known to, there's a radical sect of Hindus that would probably go there and burn their huts down and kill them or burn their gathering places, just like that. So I couldn't write about it, I didn't journal about it, but I was allowed to take photos. And this was one that Sherrard took. That's not me taking the picture. I don't know how to do that. My hands are taking care of business. But the fact that their little boy is now 5 years old, and listen what he wants to do. This man has called me today and asked me that all the Hills believers and Forest believers want to gather on Sunday, the 1st of July. July 1st came and went in India already. It's coming up on nighttime there now. To the church for special prayer, and they want me, meaning Sherrard, to attend the church on this Sunday. Now here's his words, and this is not a praise to us necessarily, but it's the only way he knows how to relate where he was at then and where he is now. Because this is the testimony of a changed life by some who went and he saw something different. I am so happy to talk to this man who so lovingly and with concern has called me and told me to be present this Sunday at the church. I am so excited to know that you have sown the seed of laying hands on the people and praying for their different needs, and they experienced the marvelous result from the Lord, not from Rick, okay, from the Lord, is simply amazing in my sight. And I thank the Lord for you, dear Pastor Rick, for that. Nowadays, whenever we go to tell a body, I have the privilege to lay my hands on people and pray for their different needs and pray over water bottles and coconut oil packets. Oh, what a blessed thing this is, and what a simple faith these Forest and Hills Villages believers have. It is amazing. They would bring their little bottles of oil, coconut oil or water, and they would ask me to pray. I have a lot of pictures of praying over these little water containers. Or the gypsy camp, they would bring these little bottles of coconut oil and they would want me to pray for those so that when someone gets sick in their village, they would go and they would take that oil. You know, we have oil here and there's nothing magical in it, but it's a point of contact for people to release their faith. And they would bring these little plastic bottles just scavenged out of the dump and put coconut oil in and bring it so that if I prayed over it, they would go back to their village and lay hands themselves on the sick, and those people would be healed out of a childlike simplicity of faith, unlearned, untaught, unscripture, un-nothing. The simplicity of faith, and we try to complicate it. I can't make it any simpler. God says, do it, I do it. God says, this will happen, and it happens. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Gary's got books all over that table about faith, and wonderful people have written so much about faith. But these people in these little villages, no one had ever gone there, and how quickly, I mean it was instantaneously, how they responded. And you go to a village, and they find out you're praying for the sick in that one house in the village, they go all through the village while you're praying for the ones in the house, and they bring all the other ones to the house so they can be prayed for too. It's amazing. And now, Sherrard is enjoying that joy for himself because he never did that before. He was told, that's not for today. God doesn't do those things anymore. And yet he found out for himself, firsthand, and now he's doing it. At the nice young age of 76, his ministry is just taken off. And I'm so excited about seeing him in a couple of months because I'll probably sit back with my camera and let him do the stuff, and I'll take pictures of him praying because that's his great joy. And to meet Jesse, who will be coming with him, with me in a couple of months. So before we break for Huggy Break, Ken and Laurie have a special song they want to introduce, and who knows, it might be the top of our song list charts. We don't know, but they'd like to bless us with it anyway. So stay cool.
God of all my days. If you listen to the words, be amazed how closely it follows the opening scripture. behind me and found the God who makes all things new. I look to you, drowning in my questions, and found the God who holds all wisdom. I turn to you, step out of the ocean. You caught my hand among the waves. You're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, you stay the same. You're the God of all my days. I ran from you and wandered in the shadows and found the God who relentlessly pursues. I hid from you, haunted by my failure, and found the God whose grace still covers me. I fell on you when I was at my weakest, and found the God, the lifter of my head. And I've worshipped you, felt you right beside me. You're the reason that I sing. You're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, you stay the same. You're the God of all my days. In my worry, God, you are my stillness. In my searching, God, you are my answers. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom. In my weakness, God, you are my power. You're the reason that I sing. You're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, you stay the same. You're the God of all my days. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom. All my days.
Amen. And that will be we'll do that as a regular worship song. Amen.
Your great name. What's that name?
Jesus.
What's the name above all names?
Jesus.
What's the name that every knee will bow its knee to?
Jesus.
What's the greatest name ever known?
Jesus.
What's the name that's greater than sickness?
Jesus.
What's the name that's greater than disease?
Jesus.
What's the name that's greater than infirmities?
Jesus.
What's the name above all names that has anything to do with anything?
Jesus.
Now we're getting close. I knew we'd get there. Yes, sir, Gary. The Lord God who saves,
the
Yeshua.
Word of God,
yes.
The very word of God.
Yes.
Is the Lord God who saves.
Amen. You know, Brad, I'm really glad you came this morning because I don't know how come people keep sneaking in and reading my notes. Because it's just not fair. Just not right. But they're available to anyone who wants to.
The camera?
Okay. Yeah, that's. I better look under here. They could be watching me. Philippians chapter 4. As we just sang such a wonderful medley of praise and worship songs, drawing attention to the name which is above all names, the one who has the answers for all of life's situations and problems, the one you can bring your cares and troubles to and walk out with rest. There's no other name given under heaven and earth whereby man must be saved. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Moderation means self-control. Christians should be, we should learn to discipline ourselves to the place in our lives where we don't let flesh and feelings rule our lives and make a wreck of our spiritual life. The spirit should always be first. And we strive, each of us, as we grow in our faith and we mature, we come to that place where we don't get rattled and knocked off course. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God. Be careful means full of cares. I told you one time how when I pack my one suitcase and bring it to India, it's just bulged to the max, probably like after dinner last night, you know, just. And just as I was leaving, somebody said, take care. I said, sorry, my bag is full. I don't have any room for that. When you give all of your cares to the Lord, there is nothing to be fretful about. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be concerned about. I mean, who better can you give your stuff to? And walk away free. It just works that way. I don't know how it does, it just does. But all I know is I would have liked somebody to come along and take that wheelbarrow and stack all that wood for me, and I could just sit back and watch them wheel the wheelbarrow. But I know that that wheelbarrow was a lot lighter coming back from the wood pile than it was pushing it up the hill to the wood pile. And I was talking to somebody about that this week, I think, during Bible study, one of the Bible studies, about how Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wow. Nobody ever made me a promise like that in my life. Not one. They all had their own stuff going on. They didn't have room for mine. Oh, that's your problem. You take care of that. I got my own stuff to deal with. Don't trouble me. Well, Jesus said, trouble me. Trouble me with your stuff. Bring it. Bring it on. I can handle it. See what I did for you? I can handle that. But we got to quit just taking it back. What if he said, no, I'm not giving it back to you. I don't care how hard you scream and beg for it back, I'm not giving it to you. Wouldn't that be a new concept? Did you ever think of that? What if Jesus said, no, I'm not going to give you back all those worries and cares? I told you to bring them to me. Do you want to take them back? What if he said, no, I'm not going to give them back to you? What would you do? You'd spend all your life riding around with that empty wheelbarrow. Boy, I wish somebody would throw a stick of wood in here so I could have some worries. No. It's our choice. But this is what he said. But in everything, not for everything, there's a big difference between in and for. Not everything that we experience comes from God. That's why he said, in everything, not for everything. That's huge. Get a revelation of the difference. The devil could be beating you up, and I don't want to give him any more credit. He's under my feet, and if there's going to be any beating up, it's going to be me on his neck. But by prayer and supplication, anybody that has anything to do with courts and documents that are filed with the court, what is a supplication? It's something that you bring before the judge, something you bring before the court, a petition, if you will. Well, you're bringing your prayer requests before the ultimate Supreme Court in heaven. Who do you think's listening? Jesus is the password that unlocks all of heaven. Yes, Lorraine?
Something I'd like to add.
Yeah?
It all kind of goes together, what God has really taught me lately and very recently. And I keep hearing him say it to me. I listen to the words of your testimony. Not what's going on, not what other people are saying, but when I say what I want out of a situation, as long as it lines up with what God would say, I get it.
Amen.
But it took a long time to get through. I'm so glad the Lord has finally gotten through to me.
Thank you. But that's why it's good to reinforce these faith values. I know sometimes, you know, you can read a scripture 10 times, but read it once more. And there may be a breakthrough of understanding. There's never too much of the word. With thanksgiving, it's always important to include thanksgiving. When you... I know I use earthly examples, and I like the wheelbarrow because I was moving my big load of wood that got brought to the yard and dumped in a big pile, and it had to be carried and stacked. But, you know, every stick I put in that wheelbarrow, and I went back, the stacked pile was getting bigger, and the pile I was taking it from was getting smaller. And when I got to the bottom, I said, oh, this is great. There's only 4 pieces left to put in that wheelbarrow. I can handle this. And just thanking God that I put air in the tire of the wheelbarrow. He gave my body physical strength to do the work. But it's the same idea when you've brought your petition, if you will, before the Lord, and you lay it down, and there's something about thanking Him even before you see the results. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1, that's really important. So when you pray, thank the Lord then. Don't wait until you see it. Thank Him then, because that shows faith that you believe in the God whom you just prayed to, or you're just wasting good oxygen for somebody else to breathe. Save your breath, save your hisses, save your bad hair days. Don't worry, your hair will get kinky 10 minutes after we walk out the front doors, back out to the real world. This is our own little place, you know, while we're here together, and where we share and encourage and grow and just have a wonderful time in the Lord. But to know that once you've given it to Him, thank you. Anybody ever done any long distance driving with another person, and there was another person that said, I'll drive the next 5 hours if you like, take a break. What would you say? I got this. What happened on your trip to Florida, huh? Didn't you have somebody to help you? Weren't you thankful? No? See, someone to share, someone to come alongside of you and lift you up and bolster you and to ease that burden, to ease that load. And the first thing you want to say is thank you. Even before they drive a mile. Well, in some cases you might wish you hadn't let them drive, but that's That's a people problem, not a God problem. God, you can always let him be the pilot and you'll be in good hands. Let your supplications with prayer and supplications and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So prayer, releasing it to him, and look what he gives you in return. And the peace of God, not the peace of Iraq, not the peace of Iran, not the peace of Russia, not the peace of Cuba, not the peace of every war-torn country in this world, but the peace of God. That's different. That's available to you through Jesus Christ. And if you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit already dwells in you. And if you notice that peace, love, joy, and peace is a third fruit of the Holy Spirit, evidence of God's indwelling presence is already inside of you. But you see, if you get rattled and you lose it, the peace is still there waiting. And you say, hey, where you been? I've been here all the time waiting for you. They're like a 9-member ministry team. They're on board. They never take a day off. They never take a holiday. They never sleep. 24/7, all of these fruit of the Spirit continue to work on yours and my behalf. Do a study sometime on of them and see what their functions are. Patience is given. People are scared to ask God for patience because they're afraid he's going to send them tribulation. God doesn't have to send any tribulation. Satan is the god of this world and he stirs up enough trouble without God's help. And you don't have to thank God that he uses the devil to torment you because you asked him for patience. That isn't the way it works, but that's the way a lot of people think. Got to change your thinking, like Joyce Meyers, change the stinking thinking, right? Got to come back to the Word. What does the Word say? God will give you his peace, which passes all understanding. Hi, Jeannie. Praise the Lord. The kind of peace that passes all understanding. I don't know how it works. I just know it does. And why do I have to know how it works? That's God's department. All I have to do is have that childlike faith, like our little kids when they're little. They just do it. They do it. And without even knowing why, until they grow, until they're about 5, and then they ask why. And you better have a good answer, because kids probe you. They provoke you to have an answer. Well, you know, if you did ask God why, you'd have an answer pretty much of the time. He'd say, read my word. I'm not going to repeat it all. Read it. You read it. You renew your mind to it. I gave it for you. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart. Do you ever notice you get rattled and your heart goes, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Pulse rate goes up 140 beats a minute and you didn't even lift your foot yet. Wow, what's that thing you got on your wrist there, Lori? Does it measure your heartbeat? If you get provoked, would it start flashing and vibrating on your wrist and telling you to back off? It would just tell you you're out of control, huh? Tell you when you get yeah, get moving with the Lord and get that peace going. Yeah. It says it'll keep your heart and your mind. Our mind or our thought life, our will, our intellect, the 5 physical senses, all of that part makes up the soulish realm. For God's peace will take care of that. Because if God's got your back, you don't have to keep looking back. He's got it. He's got you covered. So today, if you came and maybe got a few things going on and you want to bring your request to the Lord, you can do that on your own at home if you want to. But if you're here, we believe in prayer. You all know that. Those of you that are visiting, we always have time during the service to pray for the needs of the people that came. So don't think that your concerns don't matter. They matter very much. They matter much to the Lord. They matter much to us. So in light of that, you saw the picture of my laying hands on that couple in India. Isn't it neat how he just so manifests himself in our presence? You can't choreograph these things. They just so spontaneous how God puts words in people's hearts and we bring it together and we all dine on that word. That is really good. Thank you.
And,
yes.
And it's interesting to know that like the Lamentation Bible, the page just opens back.
Amen. Too. And I want to say one more thing about that picture of that couple in India. They lost 3 children before the children were born. And they're just young. I mean, you saw their picture. These kids were only in their 20s. And they were trying to raise a family. And in India, where they live in the mountains, there's no doctors, there's no clinics, there's no medicines. And the nearest hospital, if you can find transportation to get to, it might take you 3 hours or maybe 3.5 hours to get to the hospital in the city of Mysore. And many die on the way. They have witch doctors that make up this powder and they shake a palm frond in your face and blow that gray powder on you, and you know, that's like the devil asking to make you sicker. And 3 children they lost. And the despair and the anguish of, shall we try this again? And somehow that day, someone brought them. And hope arose in their heart when we began praying for the other people in the little house. Hope arose in their hearts. They made their request known. I laid my hands on their head just as an impartation of the Holy Spirit. You all know those things. And we brought their supplication before the Lord, and just like you read, their heart was so tender and so willing and so ready for God to make a difference, because nobody ever prayed with them for those things, because most people don't go there. And yet now their little boy is 5 years old, going to church with them. And I remember when that child was born, I brought you a picture of the baby after he was born. That couple. Beautiful, perfect and healthy. And what a faith builder that was in their lives, and what an anchor to that little church now, because they've received their miracle and they will always know that God is a God of miracles and a God of the impossible, because to him it was easy. But to them, the greatest thing that they had ever seen in answer to prayer. And your prayers can be answered just as easily. It's the same Lord, different country, but same planet. So if you have any needs, come on up and we'll pray. And now those of you that are just, you know, here present, just release your faith with ours for the people that are being prayed for, and we just all get in agreement and release our faith together.